Hello, and how's everybody doing today? We are going to continue with our series on the kingdom of heaven. Today is part three. We're going to be dealing with the kingdom suffers violence, and the kingdom suffered violence, and it's the violent that take it by force. Before we get going, I want to play a small excerpt to this worship song. Amen. I just wanted you guys to hear the words to that song, because anytime we get ready to approach God's holy word, our greatest prayer should be that he open our eyes, because we want and need to see Jesus. We're coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 11. I'm going to read verse 1 through 15. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in the cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent 2 disciples and said unto him, Are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before you. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We yield to the Comforter to teach us, lead us, and guide us into all truth. I pray that a Holy Ghost fire be a set on the inside of us to know our purpose, to know what you called us to, and to know and great and have a greater understanding of the kingdom of heaven, which is inside of us, and how to access it and advance it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to start this off with a short story of when I was a young man at home. There were a couple times that my foes, those who considered themselves to be my enemy, they actually came to my home, knocked on my door, and challenged me to fight. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of it. Each time, by the grace of God, they lost. But I want to use that as an example, because the very thing that the enemy did to me back in the day, with bringing an entourage of kids in the neighborhood and talking smack and coming knocking on the door and calling me out, that is exactly what we're called to do. We just read it. When John sent two disciples to Jesus to say, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" I like how Jesus answered it. He said, did the blind receive their sight? Do the lame walk? Are the lepers cleansed? The deaf hear? The dead raised? And the poor hear the gospel of the kingdom?" Yeah, that's the proof that he's the one. Jesus wasn't trying to talk about it. He was being about it. And today, in this lesson of that the kingdom suffers violence, and it's the violent that take it by force. Now, I took some time out before I did my notes for this particular session. I took some time out and did something I normally don't do. And I listened to quite a few messages to see on this particular subject, on the violent take it by force, because I wanted to know what was the going understanding of the leaders as far as their thoughts on what this scripture actually means. So I just wanted to see. I normally don't do that. I just preach what God gives me. But I just wanted to get a sense of what direction a lot of preachers were going with. And I listened to some, you know, conservative preachers, some Pentecostal preachers. I listened to a nice gamut of different teachers in the body to do like an acid test. And no one really was going in the direction I felt like the Lord was taking me. I just wanted to see. It didn't matter, but for some reason I wanted to test it and see actually what's out there. And it was really quite revealing, the different things that I heard. So let's get into it. I need to set this up, and then we're gonna really dig into the meat of it. Verse 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." As I aforementioned in part two of the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom, as far as the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God that's mentioned in the gospels, the kingdom was not revealed and did not begin until John. And it didn't begin to John because John was Jesus' first cousin. He was the one anointed and appointed by God to be Jesus' forerunner. And by him being the oldest, he was 6 months older than Jesus. So he had a 6 month advance before Christ at the age of 30 could start his ministry. So he went before Christ. And he was the first one to preach the king, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay. And so the kingdom was not revealed and preached until John, because John was the forerunner of Christ, and Christ came right behind him. He was preaching the kingdom because John would be the one to announce the king. And the kingdom could not be revealed until God sent the king. And he did it that way because once the king came, he was not only going to tell us about the kingdom of heaven, but he was going to show us what it is and how it operates. He was going to be the example of the kingdom of heaven and what it is as citizens in the kingdom we are called to do as believers in Christ. All right. Now, give me a minute to set this up. So the kingdom didn't begin, wasn't announced and revealed until John. That's emphatically true. So the entire Old Testament and history of Israel was not the kingdom of God. Okay. So therefore, Israel's history before the coming of John and Jesus, within Israel's history, the only time God had them forcibly invade and take over a land was the promised land that God had promised Abraham, their forefather. That's the only time. So we only see God causing his people, the nation of Israel, to violently take something by force as far as land and people is in the book of Joshua with the conquest of Canaan. Now I'm going somewhere. Because what we just read with the coming of Christ is there's a kingdom now and we are supposed to violently take it by force. But we don't see this in the Old Testament. What am I trying to say? God did not necessarily have them proselytizing other nations and the world. The nation of Israel was a small nation who pretty much stayed within their borders. But the coming of Christ began a new order. And the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And it was all about advancement. Because he told them, you take the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, there will be no borders. Go everywhere. This is what the Great Commission is about. So with the revealing of the kingdom through John and Jesus, it would be intentional, aggressive, within the grace and love and compassion of God. There would be no limitation as far as geography. It would not be put in a box. It would not have any borders, unlike what we see in the Old Testament with Israel. God did not use the nation of Israel as a military force to conquer lands, because even though they were in covenant with God, they were still spiritually dead. In other words, they were not able to be born again because the Messiah had not yet come and paid the price to redeem man. God needed a people, speaking of Israel, to encapsulate his principles, his laws, his statutes, and ways. A people he could give his word to and it be maintained until he was ready to establish his kingdom. Someone who would be given a culture that would be filled with the knowledge of God, his nature and his character. A nation who would preserve his word and provide a people in covenant with him to birth the coming Messiah. This was fulfilled during the time of John and Jesus. Now, Jesus' arrival in the earth changed everything. The king arrived, and there was suddenly a paradigm shift in all creation. We know that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. The Bible says that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. The Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and was impregnated with the seed of Jesus, which means his bloodline was not from fallen man, sinful man. His bloodline was from heaven, because God is his father. Now, as a footnote, I want to ask this question. If Adam, speaking of Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall, if Adam did not eat from the forbidden tree, would man still be in the garden today? I'm going to ask that again. If Eve was the only one to have eaten from the tree and Adam never did, would we still be in the garden? The answer is yes, because although Eve had eaten and sinned and failed, we have to understand the bloodline comes from the man. And as long as Adam didn't fall, God's righteous bloodline, which would come through Adam, would still be able to reproduce God's image in the earth. And we know this for a fact because Mary gave birth to Jesus. Mary was a fallen seed. But as long as her womb was not defiled, that's why she had to be a virgin. As long as Mary's womb was not defiled by another fallen person, God's holy, righteous seed could still be birthed, untainted by her, because the seed and bloodline comes from the man. And if it is true, with Mary being able to give birth to the Son of God, it would also be true in the garden if Eve had fallen, but Adam did not. As long as Adam was not sinful and Eve womb had not been corrupt by another fallen person, God's image could still be birthed in the earth through Adam. That was free. Now, as the second Adam, we know the Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. When Jesus came, he began a violent, aggressive, merciless assault against Satan and his kingdom. Although the Old Testament is full of miracles, none dealt with the enemy from behind the scenes, spiritually and at its core. So we must understand that Israel's physical history can be used as spiritual parallels for the church today. And this is what I liked about Jesus when he came and brought that whole paradigm shift into creation. Jesus called the enemy by his name. So it was no longer fighting a physical enemy, because we know in the New Testament, Paul stated, "For we fight not against flesh and blood." Or we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and of this world and wickedness and high places. In other words, our fight is not against physicality, because the real enemy is a spiritual being. Jesus came to take the fight spiritually. And this when things begin to get good. So when the Lord showed up in the earth, born of a woman, as the second Adam, he began to call the enemy by name. No longer a physical name like Amorite, Canaanite, Egyptian, Babylonian, Assyrian, or Philistine. Those were the Old Testament names of the enemy and nations. But when Jesus came, he understood our fight is not against flesh and blood, but the unseen enemy has a name. And he began to call him by his name: Satan, Legion, spirit of infirmity, spirit of this and spirit of that, you spirit of deaf and dumb. This was the paradigm shift. And we going somewhere. When this began to happen, it sent shock waves throughout the kingdom of darkness. This is why we read in scripture, when Jesus would be casting out devils, the Bible says that they would begin to scream and plead and beg Jesus not to torment them before it's time. See, this was the paradigm shift. This had never happened before in the Old Testament, because God didn't allow spiritually dead people to engage a spiritual being. All of Israel's enemies were seen in the natural, even though it was the spiritual enemy working behind the scenes. But everything was from a three-dimensional perspective in the Old Testament. When Jesus came, because his bloodline was from heaven, he was spiritually connected and could see and know and engage the enemy at the core, at the root, on a spiritual level. And this is what messed the enemy up. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was able to reveal the boogeyman for who he really was. Jesus was able to pull the curtain on the wizard in the Wizard of Oz, who was just a little man pulling all the strings behind the scenes, scaring the people. Jesus specifically came to invade the very territory where Satan was God. The Bible says that Satan is the God of this world. He came, he said, we are in the world, but not of it. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. But he chose to come on the devil's territory in the world system and begin to pick fights. This is very important. This had never happened in the 4,000 years of human history at that time. Jesus came to pick a fight, to bully and harass Satan. He healed every disease. He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. He cleansed the leper. Most importantly, and I need you to get this, he cast out devils. There's no biblical record of God's people casting out evil spirits until Christ. So we know that Jesus serves as our example. Anointed, he anointed and appointed his disciples to do the same. After Jesus gave himself as our ransom and rose again on the third day, then came Satan's most terrifying day. It's called the Day of Pentecost. The day that God sent his spirit to live inside all born again believers. This is affectionately known as the birthday of the church, the Day of Pentecost, which in turn, setting up the kingdom of heaven within each believer, empowering them to do the works of Christ. All the works we just read when John the Baptist sent word to Jesus, are you the one and should we look for another? Those works is what we're called to do. Empowering them to do the works of Christ and establish and advance the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, instead of one anointed person on earth, Jesus, the Messiah, was the anointed one. Instead of there just being one with the sacrifice of Jesus, he being raised on the third day and the day of Pentecost coming and the giving of God's Spirit, there would now be potentially millions looking like and acting like Christ. That's pretty heavy. But the enemy is wise to soften this blow to his kingdom. The devil has done a great job at deceiving leaders in the body of Christ to believe and teach that the ministry of the Holy Spirit isn't for today. They teach that it was only for the first century church in the book of Acts, which means they do not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, healing, deliverance, miracles, casting out devils, etc. Which means them and their followers will not be the violent who take it by force. Now imagine that God has equipped us to totally dominate the devil and empowered us to absolutely destroy the enemy's works. But your pastor, assuming that your pastor is one of the ones that don't believe in the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit, but your pastor or my pastor or someone else's pastor tell you it's not for today. That means that the sick people in your church and in your family go without, even though you have a covenant of healing. That means the mentally ill, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the demon possessed and oppressed, the diseased, all just sit in these churches and suffer. But on top of that, that means these churches and their followers never get on the offense and become the violent that take it by force. Now let's talk about this. Do you realize that casting out devils is violent? Because the devil wants to live inside of people and control them. Did you realize that healing the sick is a violent act? Because the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he's the one that wants us sick and infirmed and decrease our value of life. So healing of the sick is a violent act against the enemy. Raising the dead is an act of violence to Satan. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and compelling the spiritually dead to accept Christ as Lord and Savior and snatching them out of darkness into the kingdom of light is a violent act. The Bible says if our light be hid, it's good for nothing. Jesus gave each and every last one of us in the body of Christ marching orders. It's called the Great Commission. He said, go. He didn't say sit. He didn't say stand. He didn't say meet. He said, go. So many people are waiting to be ordained and preach from behind a pulpit. But hear me. The world is our pulpit. He has given us power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. He hath instructed us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and preach the gospel, making disciples of men. Why? To establish and advance the kingdom of heaven. We have to come to a place and have the resolve today to take no prisoners and have no mercy on the enemy. We're supposed to eat devils for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I heard one preacher say before that demons are the breakfast of champions, and I agree. Now I want to ask the question, does the world lack sinners? No. People who are demonically possessed and oppressed? No. Does the world, your family, your neighbors, your city, your nation, does it lack sick people, ill people, infirm people, deaf, dumb, or crippled people, or people who die daily? The answer is no. Does the world lack sin-sick people in need of salvation? Absolutely not. Which means we are always supposed to be on the offense. We have to realize that we've been given marching orders from our commander in chief to go into every nation, every tongue, every neighborhood, every society. Isn't that what Paul did? He was called to the Gentiles. He took the gospel of the kingdom to the Romans, Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Galatians, the Colossians, and Thessalonians. I want to ask, where have you advanced the kingdom? I want to ask, how have you violently been taking it by force? Does the devil know your name? The Bible is clear that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It's not that God don't have people. It's not that he lack Christians. It's not that he lacks citizens of the kingdom. What he lack are those who understand that the kingdom of God is within us and he have given us a mandate to take over. Harvest is plentiful, but it's the laborers that's few. Jesus came to establish and advance the kingdom of heaven right in the devil's territory. Remember the story of how he went to the Gadarenes and defeated the biggest and baddest enemy there. That is the nature of Jesus Christ. This is why we read that it's the violent that take it by force. He knew what he was called to do. He knew that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. He had no successful enemies. My big Bible says that God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Now look at this. When we love people, we naturally don't want to see them sick. When we love people, of course we don't want to see them diseased and infirmed and oppressed and depressed and crippled and handicapped. And those who don't know Christ living in rebellion on their way to hell. We have to wake up and understand that we've been given all the resources of heaven, all the resources of heaven to overthrow every area where the devil has tormented human life. We are called to torment the tormentor. My Bible says the kingdom suffers violence, but it's the violent that take it by force. Now, what we call normal, we can't change. It is up to us to be the agents of change. Father God, I thank you for your word. And I pray for a Holy Ghost fire. I pray for a Holy Ghost awakening. I pray for a Holy Ghost stirring on the inside of those who are truly born again, that you have not called us to sit. We got to come out of our place of ignorance and laziness and procrastination. And you've called us to war. We don't supposed to just be sitting around waiting on the next attack of the enemy. For we all know that the best defense is a good offense. You've given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Your word says that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The book of Ephesians let us know that you have made us to be seated with you in heavenly places. You told us those that believe would cast out devils, would lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. Father God, your word says in Acts 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I pray that there be a Holy Ghost awakening, a Holy Ghost awakening on the inside of those that name your name, Father God, that we would be called to arms, that they would receive this call, Father God, that the kingdom suffered violence, but it's the violent that take it by force. When we see someone sick, at the least we're supposed to pray, standing in faith, waiting for you to confirm your word with signs and wonders. Whatever it is that the enemy have brought to oppress and destroy the humans around us, we must know and begin to grow in your word and your knowledge and in your grace that you've called us to violently take it by force. Father God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that there be a stirring, that you stir us up, Father God, that you move us out of our places of lackadaisicalness, that you move us out of our place of ignorance, that you move us out of our place of denominationalism and ignorance, that you move us out of our place where we are ineffective in Jesus' name. But Father God, you have equipped us with power from on high, that the works that Jesus did, we will do also, that you will go with us, and signs and wonders will follow us, Father God. You will confirm your word with us if we just believe your word and stand up and be accounted for and step out in faith. In Jesus' name, Father God, I pray for a stirring on the inside of your people to know that you've not only given us authority, but you've given us power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. For this purpose was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Let us no longer be content with sick people around us. Let us no longer be content with mentally ill and demonically oppressed and possessed people around us. Let us no longer be content with people living in sin and our friends and our family and our neighbors going to hell in a handbasket, when we are the rich man, we have all the resources of heaven at our disposal. Let us arise and be accounted for and begin to go about destroying the works of the enemy every place where we find him, advancing your kingdom. And as Jesus said, we pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.